are one. That's awesome. Let's give them another hand of love. Awesome. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you today Reverend Dave Lyman. He was ordained in 2005 as an interfaith minister and was associate minister at the Spiritual Life Center in Sacramento. His life experience is that he owned a commercial construction company and was a tennis professional in his other life. And he has the nickname of Tigger because of enthusiasm. And his favorite place on earth is Disneyland. Let's welcome Reverend Dave.
Good morning. So I can't help myself. You are the face of God. Let me tell you a little story behind that. Karen Drucker, at the point in time when she wrote that, was working as a music minister at a Unity Church. But in order to, she was part-time, so she also was doing musical gigs. So Saturday night, she had a Harley-Davidson biker wedding. She said it was a little different because typically you start off with slow sets, and then at the end you play these raucous sets. Well, the bikers wanted her to start off with a raucous set, so it was a very long night. She got home about 2 o'clock, and there was a note on her answering machine. Her minister said, "I'm going to talk about God and the face of God. I need you to write a song for me for it." She just sat there for a minute, and it wasn't the first time the minister had asked at the last minute, so she said, "No, I'm not going to do it now." So she went to bed. Got up just before the service, ran to the piano, jotted down, "You are the face of God," and ran to church. She played it just before the meditation, and she said 2 lines into it, "When most of the congregation was crying, I realized I hadn't written the song. God had." So that's the story behind "You Are the Face of God." And it's kind of tying into the sermon, and you'll see before the end. I always like coming up here because you're up in the foothills, and it's not as likely I'll be flooded out up here. I get the Science of Mind magazine, and so the theme this month is demonstrating integral integrity. From that, I took a sermon, attaining internal integrity. My wife said to me, "Why don't you say that 10 times really quick?" It's a lot simpler than that. Shakespeare said, "There is nothing either good or bad that thinking doesn't make it so." Henry Ford added to that. He said, "If you think you can do it, or you think you can't do it, you're right." It points out a system, a universe, that is a fabric of thoughts, our thoughts, and how we tie into that. It means we're not alone. It means we're all interconnected. It's been called the law of attraction, that what we put out is what the universe reflects to us. Even to the point that Deepak Chopra has said, spontaneous healings aren't so spontaneous anymore. They're occurring with more frequency. And he feels that is the point that people are starting to really allow that thought process to happen at a deeper level, to reflect out healing and curing. All of you are here today as part of the process in believing that there is an infinite intelligence in the universe, a God spirit that flows through all of us, flows through every piece of energy that is present. The caveat on that is it flows through us. We are part of that God spirit. And I've always felt if you want to see where you are in the process of opening to being complete as we are, it is to stand in front of a mirror in the morning and look at that mirror and say, "I am God." Watch all the internal voices that come up when you do that. Sometimes there's a big fight that happens. It goes back and forth and back and forth. We have come here to be who we are. When I was 17, my high school teacher decided to reflect and go through the plays of Shakespeare, line by line. In that, I learned that a rose is a rose is a rose is one of the deepest and profound lines in Shakespeare's plays. I felt that was about the same as if my English teacher had grown a third head. It didn't make sense to me. So when I say we are here to be who we are, that is so wide open for each of us. It is so tied into our very own interpretation of what that looks like. And we have an internal conflict that goes on. Attaining internal integrity is working with that internal conflict. Because we have that part of us that is the physical, frail human being. But we're in the midst of a spiritual experience. We're in the midst of growing spiritually. And one of the things that happens on this planet is spiritual growth. But after a lot of years, I've come to realize spiritual growth does not happen with serenity, with peace, with calmness. Spiritual growth happens with struggle, with holding on, with learning how to let go, with learning that great word that all of us are learning as a lesson on the planet, which is patience. You know, give me patience, God, and give it to me right now. Or even sooner. God's Spirit made us in her or his image. And in that image, we are the very depth of that energy. Excuse me, will I? I want to do a Jimi Hendrix line, touch the sky. We all have voices in our head. It's that ego mind. It's that other side. We have the divine that is working. And I want you to make sure that you know that the peace and the calmness, those are part of who we are. We came complete like that. But we have this other side, this human side. And so the two are in conflict. So we can come to a place where our life is overwhelmingly magnificent. Everything is just as we want it. And yet, inside, there's a part of us that is going, there's something more. There's something bigger than this. One of my mentoring ministers, Michael Moran, said that is spiritual discontent. That's that complete part of us saying, wait a minute. Because when we got here, remember the lessons that we were taught. We all have our own. Some of mine were, making a mistake is a death sentence. It's important to compare myself to everyone else. No matter what I do, it won't be good enough. If I want to make sure I do it right, I do it myself. And trusting people is a dangerous thing. So we learn our particular lessons that are kind of overlaid in that divine of who we are and spend the rest of our time sitting in places like this, learning ways to connect in a deeper way so we can really find those places where the divine is us. The Course in Miracles say, when we get into relationship, that is salvation. When we get into relationship, the person across from us is going to point out to us the places we aren't quite connected to the divine. I told my wife that when we first met, and she said, "Oh, no, no, no. We'll always be on the same page." That was 12 years ago. She realizes that we aren't always on the same page. But that's where the growth occurs. Because after 12 years, I realize as we open and deepen to relationship, we always think we may have hit a bottom. We always think we've gone as far as we can. And suddenly the bottom opens up and we deepen again. We deepen again. During the last year and a half, I've been involved in a health challenge. It's part of why I shake a little bit and it's hard to get up and down. I have a new friend. She lives right here. She is an infection, a staph infection. And because of a number of things, they cannot get rid of her. She is a part of my life. And so, in opening to that, and the divine of who I am and the being complete, my human side comes up real good. Because she needs to be fed. I am on antibiotics, but 30 to 50% of my body works with her every day. And so I learn a new norm. I learn how to have that internal balance. That lesson of patience. That lesson of self-care. This is that attaining internal integrity. It's a journey of perception. Once we can take a step and realize that no matter where we are, each of us are complete right where we are. Now, it doesn't mean tomorrow we're going to be more complete, because we will. But we're complete in this very place. And we can get so caught up saying, as soon as I get my degree, I'll be fine. As soon as I get to be certified as a practitioner, I'll be good. As soon as I have a wife, I'll be good. As soon as I get my new car, I'll be fine. But in truth, we're complete just as we are. But that edge happens, and so we learn ways to do it. There's a beautiful YouTube little four-year-old named Jessica. She's standing on a bathroom counter, and she's almost like a cheerleader, and she's standing in front of that mirror, and she's going, "I like myself. I like my hair. I can do anything. I like my stomach. I like my parents." And it goes on for a minute. And her parents talk about the fact that that's how she gets her, she does these affirmations, and she gets all amped up. Now, what they don't tell you if you look at that YouTube is Jessica is now Jess. She's a sophomore at Southern Methodist University, belongs in a sorority, and the sorority calls her mom. Because Jess still believes in affirmations and still believes in empowering people and still believes that she is complete right where she's at. That's the challenge on that internal integrity, to know that as the divine and the mind conflict with each other, it's opportunity. We can look at it as everything else. But it means we're in the midst of spiritual growth. Alan and I have a friend who was our senior minister, one of our senior ministers, and she used to say, "You know, God never gives us anything more than we can handle, and I wish he didn't think so highly of me." Because the challenges we go through is what take us to the next step. And those challenges are us being who we are. Oscar Wilde once said, "Be yourself, everyone else is taken." You're the only one that can be the best you. And we can get really caught up in that. When I was in eighth grade, I moved from California to Montana. That's called culture shock. Now, for some reason, I got it in my mind, I'm moving to a place where nobody knows me. And there are a couple things I do that I don't particularly like, a couple characteristics. So I actually chose one and said, I'm not going to do that when I'm up there. I was painfully shy, and I said, I'm going to try it differently. I'm going to say hi to people. So when I was up there, suddenly that was what people knew me as. So it's be who you are. And that doesn't mean if you're an introvert to be an extrovert. It is be who you are. Find all the strength of being an introvert and be the best one you can. When I owned the construction company, I worked with a visionary. He said our job as owners were to place people in positions that would make them a success. This meant if we had a superintendent that didn't like paperwork, we didn't give him a state job, which was filled with paperwork, because that just wouldn't work. So that's the challenge, to open and to know that we can't keep checking back every day to see where we are, because progress isn't always in front of us. There's a TED Talk It's a wonderful talk, and a man is sharing a story. He states about being in college, and he worked with a charity, a nonprofit. And so just before he left college, a woman came up to him and said, I want you to know that 4 years ago when I got here, you made a difference in my life. And he said, tell me more. She said, well, we got here, my parents and I, the night before, and I was a mess. I was overwhelmed. To the point my parents said, when we go to sign up for classes tomorrow, if you are overwhelmed and you don't think you can do it, we'll take you home and we'll love you whichever way you go. She said, so we got in line. And it started to get very overwhelming for me. And I took a deep breath and felt a lot of peace because I was going to turn to my parents and tell them to take me home. The student union door opened and out you walked in the stupidest hat I've ever seen. She said it was awful. You had a box of lollipops. And you were walking along handing out the lollipops for the charity you were working for. She said, you handed them out until you got across from me and you just stared at me with a lollipop in your hand. She said, it was creepy. She said, and then you stepped to the man, the young man next to me, and looked at him and said, this lollipop will go to waste unless you give it to the beautiful young woman standing next to you. She said, at that point, he became so embarrassed, he couldn't even look at me. He looked the other way and held out the lollipop. And I took it. She said, at that moment, with that stupid hat and those lollipops, I realized, you know what? I can handle college if you can do that. She said, so you changed my life. And as she walked away, she turned around and said, by the way, I'm still dating that young man. He said, the interesting part about it is I don't remember it. It's not in my memory banks at all. He said, so what I call that is a lollipop moment. And we all have lollipop moments. Points in time when we, in being who we are, change somebody's life. We are sent here to be who we are. We have been given a treasure chest filled with nooks and crannies and cubby holes. And there will always be more drawers and doors to open in our treasure chest. Our job is to keep unfolding and knowing that even in the dark nights of our souls, we are stepping into an opportunity to deepen and be more who we are. And in being that, we will have lollipop moments. We just won't know when they happen. And that's the challenge. That's why we're here. To know that the divine of who we are is complete, the mind and other side and overlay that gets caught up is part of spiritual growth, and it's all a wondrous opportunity. When we can slow down and take a breath and stay on that divine side, we will see it as deep opportunity. And to remember, anytime our voice within us is saying anything else but love, it's not our divine voice. And that's the one we listen to. And so I challenge you in the coming week to go out and have a lollipop moment. You may not know it. And if you have a lollipop moment with someone, go back and let them know. Because imagine what that would be like. As he said in that TED Talk, I didn't even remember it. And she came up and reminded me. So go out and have your lollipop moments. Thanks again for the opportunity today. And so it is.